Good morning, good afternoon. Good to see all your faces here today. Sometimes I wonder how I get back behind this sacred desk again. But evidently it was God's will for me to be here, so I'm here. Just last week I was in St. Louis. We had a church convention for about a week. And I heard a little story, not knowing that that story would go right along with our discussion for today. For those who may not know, the discussion for today that we will be touching on is a servant's servant. That means that we are servants, but there's a servant's servant to us. And the story went a little bit like this. We were talking about a farmer, and there was an inspector that came out to his farm to inspect the fields. So when the inspector showed up, of course, he comes to the door, he knocks on the door, and he tells the farmer that he's his inspector. You know, he shows him his badge and everything. And so the farmer, he was ready to show him his land, and he said, "Well, I just have one thing I need to ask of you, sir." He said, "What's that?" He said, "I need you to start on the right side. Start on the right side and then work your way back around to the left side." So the inspector, being that he was the inspector, he said, "Let me tell you something, sir. I'm the inspector here. Whichever side that I choose to start on is the side that I'm going to start on." He showed him one more time his authority. He said, "I am the inspector here. You see what that says on this badge? I'm the inspector." So the farmer, he humbled himself and he said, "Well, you go ahead and you start whichever way you want to start." Inspector hauls off on the left field, gets out about a mile. He sees a big mule out there. Not only did he see a big mule out there, he saw a big bull out there. When he saw that big bull, he said, "Oh, I'm in trouble now." So he got to hauling back toward the gate. The farmer stands and he sees him coming. He said, "Oh boy, he must have saw the mule and the bull." He said, "Man, I wish I could help that poor fella. So the best thing I can do is open this gate for him." And he hollered out to that inspector, "Hey, show him your badge, man." Yeah, I thought you guys might get that. Now I'm getting ready to do something that I've seen people do over the years, and I kind of question what were they doing, but now age is catching up with me, and I got to do it myself. Need reading glasses now. Show them your badge, man. Isn't that something? When we get a little bit of authority, we want to take that authority and just throw it all over people's head, man. "I'm the inspector here. I start where I want to start." Well, he's trying to tell you where to start to save your life. Here it is. Before we begin, just want to go over a little scripture here. And it's found over in Mark, chapter 10. I'll read 35 through 38, and then I'm going to drop down to 41 and 42. And it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. And they said, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' So Jesus, in return, he said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. And they replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right and the other your left in your glory.' Jesus replied back to them and said, 'You don't know what you are asking.'" Jesus replied back to them and said, "You really don't know what you're asking." Now we'll drop down to 41. "When the 10 other disciples heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become greater among you must be your servant.'" Let me say that one again. He said, "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave." You catch that? "And whoever wants to become first must be slave of all. This is what Jesus is getting across. So now we go into our lesson. We see over in John chapter 10, starts at verse 1, and we go through 17 where our lesson is found at. You can look at your handouts. But I began to study this thing, and I came up with some things that I didn't even know. Because a lot of times growing up as a youngin' in church, you know, you listen to some things and you throw other things out. I knew about the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, but I did not know the in-depthness of this story. The disciples were actually arguing about who would be in the leading position. This argument was going on right before the feast was getting ready to take place. Many of us are fathers. We've witnessed our children arguing about something, and wouldn't it be just right before we sit down for Thanksgiving dinner that our children are arguing about who daddy loves the most? So this is what was going on, not knowing that Jesus, in a few hours, his time would be up, and he would be one. Judas would be the one to call him out, and he would be the one that would be going to the cross and to shed his blood and to die for the remission of this whole entire world. Not knowing that this was about to take place, they were arguing about who was to be at his right and at his left. So this thing tugged at Jesus' heart. It tugged at his heart in such a way until he said, the only way that I can get them to come back together and to really know what was going on is that I need to do something very, very drastic. Gentlemen, we're talking about the king here. We're talking about the one who came from heaven above. The one who sits right now at the right hand of God. The one who has authority over everything in this earth, as well as everything is in heaven. This is who we are talking about here. The servant's servant. We go on. Jesus realizes, because he already knows the power in the authority that had been given to him by his father. He knew already that he was king. He knew that he was Lord. And he knew who was God. And he knew that he was the God of every God. But still and all, he saw fit to set his garments to the side, to wrap himself in a cloth, and to begin to wash his disciples' feet. The same one who was the master, at that moment, he became the slave. The same one who was the Lord took on the ministry of humility. The same one who was the highest took the lowest degree in life. And the same one who was the sovereign became then the subject. Jesus was giving an example to all of us about what true leadership is. Is leadership about showing them the badge? Is that what we think leadership is? I tell you what, maybe in the world, maybe in society, maybe how the world looks at it, that may be what leadership is, just show them the badge. But when it comes to God and being a servant for him, reaching out to a lost world, reaching out to a dark world, carrying the light that God has implanted within us, being a leader is being a servant. This is what Jesus was telling us as well as showing us in his example. Now let me try and draw a picture for you all right quick. In the hot, dusty county of Palestine, most people wore sandals and their feet became extremely dirty. A water basin sat at the entrance of most Jewish homes. Upon entering a person's home, the poor would wash their own feet, and the rich would have a servant available to wash their feet. Jesus was assuming the place of a servant or of a slave who had no rights whatsoever. He was demonstrating the route to royal service. He was demonstrating that the way to royalty is service. He was demonstrating that the way to greatness is ministry. He was also demonstrating that the way to power is humility. And he was demonstrating that the way to position is serving. Finally, he was demonstrating that the way to rule is giving. Giving of himself. This is what Jesus was showing his disciples, the ones who had walked with him. And I'm pretty sure that his disciples were kind of thrown back like, you are our king, you are our servant. Because if you know the story at all, and when you read it, you'll see that Peter himself, he spoke against him. Man, don't wash my feet. You're my Lord. It's a servant's position to wash someone's feet. We're servant to you. But what Jesus was trying to demonstrate to them young men was that I'm not only Lord, but in able for me to be the Lord that I need to be, I first have to become your servant. Then he goes on and he tells Peter that if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you are not of mine. You're none of mine. Here's where we are today. If we are truly to be servants to the individuals in whom God has given us charge of, to be able to be humble enough to serve them, to wash their feet, then we too are none of his. Because the example that he put forth was to let us know that we must first bow down and serve before he can exalt us. Now there's a deeper meaning to what Jesus was doing. This is what really caught my attention. There was a spiritual meaning behind everything that he was doing as well. A person has to be washed and cleansed by Jesus before he can become even a part of Jesus. A person also has to be washed and cleansed by Jesus before he can even serve Jesus or anyone else. Washing and cleansing are sometimes misunderstood. You see, when Jesus had approached Peter to wash his feet, as we just discussed, it was the dirt on his feet in which he had gotten from the day's toil that he desired to clean up. But most of us, we misunderstand and we object to that cleansing from Jesus, even as Peter did. But the washing and cleansings are through a permanent. You see, Peter was just crying out that he didn't want his feet to be clean. But Jesus was trying to show him in a spiritual way that just like all of us, the cares of this world, the things that we go through, the things that we have to face on a daily basis, we too become dirty from all the deeds in which we have done throughout our day. We too must have to sit down at the feet of the cross and allow him to wash our feet. It wasn't about him being a servant. But he was trying to show Peter that I need you to understand that in order for you to be a part of me, I must do this service to you. Then Peter got the light bulb moment. He said, well, in that case, not only my feet, but you can wash my head, you can wash my whole body. I think at that time he probably was like, there's a tub right over there. We can make a bath and draw it up right now. Clean me on up because I want to be a part of you. And this is the same Peter that denied him 3 times. How many times have we denied him? Even in our service, how many times have we messed up? How many times have we needed Jesus to cleanse our feet? Because we're walking in this filthy world. Not only do we need him to cleanse our feet, but we need him to cleanse our hands. Because sometimes our hands touch some dirty things. Not only do we need him to cleanse our hands, but there are times that we need him to wash our eyes. Because our eyes are set upon things in which we shouldn't be looking at. Not only do we need him to cleanse our eyes, but sometimes we need him to just put some drops of water in our ears. Because we've been hearing some things that we should not be taking part of. Clean us up, Jesus. That's what we need for you to do. Clean us up inside as well as out. This is the demonstration that he was giving to his disciples. Just washing their feet and being a servant to them, allowing us to realize and know as servants that sometimes we need to sit down and let the servant of service serve us as well. That's the only way that we're going to be productive in our ministries, men. That's the only way that we're going to go out in the community and we're going to actually be able to be a beacon of light. Is that we first have to learn how to be servants. Can you imagine Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? Can you imagine all that they had seen Jesus do? All the miracles that he had performed before their eyes. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus washing your feet? Can you imagine the hands of Christ touching your feet? The same hands that restored the ear back unto the man in which Peter took the sword and cut off. He picked it up. Touched the side of his face and his ear was restored. Can you imagine those same hands washing your feet? Getting goose pimples just thinking about it. Can you imagine those same hands that mixed mud with his spittle in the ground and the blind man was there and he made an eye salve and rubbed them in his eyes and he sent them off and told him to wash? Can you imagine those same hands washing your feet? Can you imagine the same hands that touched Peter's mother-in-law's hand when she had a high fever and the fever had to move? Can you imagine those hands washing your feet? Can you imagine the same hands that touched the leper's hand? Now, I don't know if you all know about a leper. In that time, the leper was cast out. They could not be in society. Cast away. And here it is, one that has been cast away. Oh, I can relate to that leper. Because of my past behavior, my past conduct, I was cast away. In a prison. But Jesus, the same one that came to that leper that was cast away, he came to a castaway that was in me. He touched that leper's hand, and leprosy was gone. Can you imagine those same hands washing your feet? is what he was trying to demonstrate to his disciples. Although I'm Lord, I'm just a servant. Although I'm king, I'm just a servant. Although you hold your titles as pastors and elders and whatever position you may hold, you are just a servant. Nothing more, nothing less. You're just a servant. Men, you are just a servant. Although we are fathers, we are husbands, we are the priests, the protectors, and the providers of our homes, at the end of the day, you're just a servant, man. That's it. I can own my own business and be the boss, but at the end of the day, just a servant. Can you imagine the same hands that touched the ruler's daughter? He touched her hand and she was dead. Matter of fact, he said that she's just asleep. Because he already knew that one touch was going to change her. But can you imagine the same hand that touched the ruler's daughter and brought her back to life touching your feet? He's the servant's server. We've all been given a task to serve. But don't allow the task in which we have been given overrule you. Don't allow that task to have authority over you. Always be humble in your servitude. One thing that I do, no matter where I go, in my speaking engagements that I have, just this past weekend, we had a wonderful time with the Blush event. And I was blessed to be able to be the MC for that weekend. People would come up and they would say, "Great job, Zoe. You did a wonderful job. Good job." Some of you guys may even shake my hand when I get done up here. You would oftentimes hear me say these simple words, "To God be the glory." Because everything that I do to glorify Him. Because I know that if He is the one who holds the power in His hand, and He can lay the power on the side to be a servant, who am I? Who are you? When He had the rightful position in heaven with the Father, and He knew His assignment was to come here on earth and take on the sin of the world, that means everybody in here, everybody that can hear my voice, took on your sin, your mess, your dirt, your filth, took it on. He left His position of authority to come down here to be beat on, spat at, whipped, a crown of thorns placed upon His head, crucified to a cross, stretched wide, head hung low, to be a servant. To be a servant. I'm trying to drive home this message to you guys. He's the servant of servers. Don't take it upon yourself to think just because that you are blessed to be in the position that you are in, that you are greater than. Use your position to be lesser than. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may be the one that do the exalting. I can't exalt myself, because you know what's wrong with Zoe? Just name something. There it is. Without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without His guidance, without me humbling myself daily before Him, nothing. Scripture tells us that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags to Him. If He did not see us through that veil of blood of Jesus that He shed, we would stink unto His nostrils. That's what we are. Take what God has given you and serve others. Serve others. Serve others. If Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, can humble Himself to serve, what more are we? Just last night, I had two mentoring groups, and my last group that I talked to, I kind of ran my little thing past them. I needed a little audience. The mirror wasn't working good enough for me, so I needed some people. And I began to talk about washing feet. I had one of the young people say, okay, I'm all right with all the other stuff, but don't be talking about washing my feet now. My feet is kind of personal. You know, and some of us in here, we think about somebody washing our feet. Man, I don't want them to see my ugly toes. I don't want them to see my bunions. I don't want them to see the corns that I have. And let's get down to it. I don't want them to smell my feet. But the heart of a servant, we'll take those corns. We'll take those bunions. We'll take that smell for a minute. We'll take it because we know that we're not doing it to impress you. We're doing it because we want to have the heart of a servant. You know, we say we want to be like Christ. Well, if we want to be like Christ, that's something that He did. He served. And at least we put on socks and shoes. Imagine them walking through the desert all day long. With sandals. Y'all already know their feet was toe up, man. Toe up. It wasn't from the flow up, it was just the flow. They was toe up. But that's a sign of humility, man. He reached down and He began to wash the feet of His disciples. In closing, I closed my book a little too fast there. All of us that came in here today, I don't know if we really realize what we passed. Some of us may have seen it, but I think most of us just walked right by it and didn't even realize the message that was staring at us. There's a little board that's connected to the banisters outside the YMCA, and there's a message that's on that board. And it simply says, Lord, empty me of me so I can be filled with You. So on the way out, those that didn't see it, say, where that board that Zoe was talking about? It's a little clipboard right there on the banister. But let me be honest, man, I missed it too. I missed it. Last night I was walking out and I see one side, but I didn't see the other side. And that's where that message was, on the other side. That's a message in itself. We see one side, but do we look at the other side? We'll go somewhere with that a little later, man. That's brewing up right there. A servant's servant. I just ask that you guys huddle at your table. You guys get in depth with your discussion, and let's become more humble in what Christ has called for us to do. Father God, we just thank You for allowing us to be able to share on today, to be able to be used by You. I thank You for hiding me behind the cross. And I thank You for just using me as Your instrument and not just a vessel. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that even as these men go into their studies, even as they go into their discussions, that You would just bless the discussions. those that need to be cleansed by Christ. We ask that they may come forth and that they may ask, what must I do to be saved? God, we just praise you and we thank you for this day. And we just ask right now that your anointing will ever be present with us, even as we leave this place, but not your presence, O God. Lord, we ask that you will embrace us in your love, that we may hear you more clearly, that we may love you more dearly. And God, that we may be the men that you have called for us to be in these last and evil days. We do pray and we ask these things in your Son Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, and every heart says, amen. God bless you, my brothers. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.